Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Luke 2, verse 49. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Now the word wist, W-I-S-T, it simply means know. And this is an important question because Jesus is the one who asked it. Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Now Luke chapter 2 tells us about the time when Jesus, at the age of 12, was discussing matters in the temple with the prominent teachers of his day. Now he had come to Jerusalem with Joseph and Mary for the Passover. Now that having passed, Mary and Joseph started home. Supposing Jesus to be in the traveling company, they actually left him behind. And for 3 days they searched for him, finally locating him back in Jerusalem in the temple. And when they found him, Mary inquired of Jesus, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us?" Now they had been very concerned about him, to be sure, and intending in no way to slight his earthly parents or to be disrespectful, Jesus responded with the question of verse 49. It seems he would ask almost as if he intended to say, "Of all people, you should have known who I am and why I am doing what I am doing." But they did not fully understand. Nonetheless, the Bible says his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, Luke 2:51. Sometimes we wonder how much did Christ, at this age, understand about his mission. Well, we cannot be sure, but some things are very evident. He knew who his real father was, and he knew what his father's business was, and he knew he was to be about that business. He evidently knew his role and his work in that business, and it's safe to conclude that he understood why he was here on this earth and what he had to do. For after all, even though he was in the flesh, he was deity in the flesh. He was Emmanuel, God with us. Now, the implication of the question is that the Father had sent him to do the Father's business. Hebrews 10 and verse 9, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." We best understand what the mission of Christ was, and we comprehend it as we observe the things concerning him and what he did, as we observe what he said, what he did, what he accomplished, how he acted. And his question to Mary and Joseph was almost the same question, "Why did my Savior come to earth? Is it not clear that he came to do what the Father intended for him to accomplish?" Now, by considering his question, we have an opportunity to magnify and glorify our Lord, and to glorify his mission, and to give him credit where credit is due, and the credit belongs to deity. And that's what we're intending to do with the lesson that we're bringing today, and we'll also discuss in our next lesson after this. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste of death for every man." Friend, this tells us what was the Father's business. Jesus died for all. Now, his death was a vicarious death. That simply meant it was instead of others. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 25, it teaches us that Christ was set forth to be a propitiation, a satisfaction for the payment of sin. In 1 John 2:2, it also teaches us that he is the propitiation for our sins. Hebrews 9 and verse 12, it echoes the same sentiment, but in different words. "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Friend, a propitiation is simply an atonement. It's the satisfactory payment for the sins of man as has been determined by the Heavenly Father. Man has sinned, and justice demands that sin be paid for. Somebody had to pay. Well, God provided the payment. He provided the payment in the person of His only begotten Son. And not only is He the propitiation for our sins, but 1 John 2 and verse 2, for the sins of the whole world. My dear listener, Jesus Christ provided for the remission of sins for people who lived both before and after the cross. Hebrews 9, verse 15 and verse 22. And while under the law of Moses there were many sacrifices, it was the one sacrifice of the Lord Jesus that was sufficient. Hebrews 9, 26 and 28. The death of Christ, friend, is an expression of God's love for man and His grace towards sinful man. And this last reference of 1 John 4 and verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's why Jesus is called the author of eternal salvation, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. So you see, when He died on the cross, He was busy doing the Father's business. That's what Jesus said that He came to accomplish, and that's what He was doing. Well, we further learn His business. It included many other things. For instance, in Hebrews 2 and verse 10, for it became Him in bringing many sons to glory. Now, the death of Christ, it was to save mankind from the wages of sin. And by so doing, rather than the fires of an eternal punishment for man, mankind has access to an eternal glory. Many have and will respond to the offer of Christ and will be glorified. This is the glory of salvation, of which the Apostle Peter spoke in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, and of which Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy of being compared to the glory that shall be received of us, Romans 8 and verse 18. You see, the Bible teaches us that we are called unto His eternal glory. How is that possible? It's because of what Jesus did. He made it possible for sinful people like me and you to become the sons and daughters of God, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. And as God's children, we become heirs and the beneficiaries of His inheritance. And the Apostle Peter wrote about that inheritance, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So you see, friend, when Christ died on the cross, He was doing the Father's business. But His death on the cross was to bring many sons to glory, and that was doing the Father's business. Bringing people to glory, that's what He came to accomplish. Know ye not that I must be about the Father's business? Well, His death, and in bringing people to glory, that was the Father's business. And furthermore, in Hebrews chapter 2, it reveals that He is the one who sanctifies. Christ is the sanctifier. He sanctifies, and the redeemed are the sanctified. Now, friend, a sanctified person is not one who has been zapped by the Holy Spirit, as false teachers sometimes teach. A sanctified person is one who has simply been set apart. He's been set apart from his sins. He's been set apart from the ways of this world. He has been set apart into the service of God through Christ. And the sanctifier and the sanctified are all one. The sanctified are counted as brethren and as children of God, and there is unity there is fellowship with Christ and the sanctified. And to make that possible, that was the Father's business. Such are those who are in Christ. The importance of being in Christ is evidenced when we read that salvation is in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1 verse 3. And no condemnation to those who are in Christ, Revelation 14, 13. And blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, Revelation 14, 13. All spiritual blessings, as I said, are in Christ. We are in Christ, and He is in us, and producing this fellowship, this oneness, this relationship with deity, it was possible by Christ. He made it possible. He was doing the Father's business. And Hebrews 2 and verse 14 says that through death He might destroy the power of him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Friend, Christ died and conquered death by His own resurrection. The angels at the tomb declared, "He is not here. He is risen as He said." Christ has shown power over death by raising the dead and by raising Himself. As prophesied, He was not left in Hades, the unseen state of the dead, Acts 2:31. And at the return of our Lord on the last day, death, which Paul says is the last enemy, will be destroyed when all shall be raised, both good and evil, John 5:28-29. It was a part of the mission of Christ to spoil principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them, Colossians 2:15, and leading captivity captive. That is, those who once in the captivity of sin and Satan, they are delivered from that captivity, being captured now by the Lord, Ephesians 4 and verse 8. And this was accomplished by condemning sin in the flesh, Romans 8 and verse 3. Victorious are His people, for when He comes again, all who belong to Him shall be caught up together to meet Him and will be forever with Him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. Now, in doing all of this, He was doing the Father's business. There are other things that Jesus did that we're going to mention in our next lesson. And the things that He did was to accomplish the Father's business. But to review the points that we want to make, know ye not that I must be about the Father's business? It was the Father's business for Christ to taste of death for every man. It was a part of the Father's business for Christ to bring many sons to glory. It was a part of the Savior's mission and the Father's business to provide a relationship between man and God and to be one with deity. It was a part of the Father's business that Jesus Christ would destroy the power of the devil, even the power over death, not only by His own resurrection, but by the fact that He raised some from the dead, and certainly the fact when He comes again, there will be the resurrection from the dead of all, both good and evil. Well, there are other things that was a part of the Father's business that the Lord Jesus accomplished. I hope you'll be listening in the next lesson to hear what these things are. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.